The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Thursday. Again, another extremely busy day. They're not going to light up intentionally or otherwise on all of us around the world. The attempt to overthrow the planet and reformat the way this little beautiful round sphere floating out in the cosmos does business is now full speed ahead. They're not slowing down. They may be a little concerned that people are figuring out that the vaccine is not a vaccine at all. It's an experimental, unapproved, very dangerous commodity, which has killed worldwide, take a guess, 100,000, 50,000, in the U.S., 10,000. The feds admit to 3,900, I think it is. But it's way up there. And of the others, the tens and tens and tens of thousands in the U.S. who have officially been reported as having suffered injuries, not momentary side effects, injuries from this alleged vaccine, those numbers are huge. And it could be close to 100,000 by now. When you have 180 plus million having, in most cases, voluntarily, if you can call mind control and brainwashed people voluntarily able to do anything, I guess that's another argument. But they've taken the shot, 180 plus million, and they're pushing hard for 80%. The only thing that I haven't figured out yet, and I'm betting on it, we know now that Morgellons-like nanotechnology fibers are in the face masks. We know that. And they're made in China. I've seen three different videos I have listed there on that right-hand side. Scroll down, look for the coronavirus special section. Three different videos, three different people with three different masks, all showing these black Morgellons-like nanofibers moving as soon as they're exposed to heat and moisture. In other words, you put one of those masks on, those fibers are going for your nose, your face. They'll crawl in anywhere. They'll go right through your skin. We know they're in the masks. We know they're in the swabs, either the deep swab or the shallow swab. It doesn't matter. The shallow swab is about three times as big as the small one that went way up, pushed up against the thin bone that separates your brain from your sinuses, and made damn sure that those nanobots were deposited there. The people doing it didn't know, but that's what they were doing. So we know all about that, and I want to alert you now that hour two tonight, do not miss it. Cliff Mickelson is back. Cliff is one of the world's foremost experts a very good friend of mine for many, many years, on Morgellons, and he's going to talk about this stuff. All right, so we know that fibers are part of the genocidal planning. We know they're in the mask. We know they're in the test. I do believe they're in the vaccine, so-called vaccine. I do also believe very strongly that there is a way that people who have accepted the experimental injection can spread the mRNA after effects to others, probably through body fluids, kissing, sex, sweat even. It's like HIV. It's there. It's eminently expressible to other people. All right, enough of that for the moment now. But on the geopolitical front, militarily speaking, we have Ukraine, we have China. Ukraine is probably the bigger story at the moment. We're watching very carefully. Vladimir Putin told Biden on the phone, this is really funny, day before yesterday, there were two destroyers that the U.S. was muscling up to send into the Black Sea, right? Putin got on the phone and told Biden, he said, you better keep those ships far, far away from the problems in Ukraine for their own good. And he may have said, obviously, something more direct, like, you keep moving them into the Black Sea and we're going to sink them. They're gone. So Biden said, yes, sir. Oh, excuse me. Biden Obama said, yes, sir, Mr. Putin. Turn those ships right around and they're heading out. So Biden is, as one story said, now Putin's bitch. He is a lame loser with a wimpy, weak military foreign policy, and obviously no control over anything. He's not the guy. It's Obama and Obama's handlers. So that's the basic situation. I think all of you understand that. Going to the great state of Maine now to talk to my secret girlfriend. Oh, no, it's public now, we know. My girlfriend up there, Charlotte Iserby. Are you there, dear?
Yes, yes, sir, I am. Yeah, I'm really glad you did a very good prologue or whatever you want to call it. You educated me about what went on today. You know, it's really something else, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I've been watching the trial pretty closely. Chauvin,
but tell me, haven't seen anything about it. This is good. Tell me.
Well, Chauvin, he's definitely going to. I mean, I don't know how the jury's going to rule, but I would imagine it's not going to be unanimous by any means. I think he'll get some sort of a sentence. And
you're saying hung jury? You're saying hung jury?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be certainly one, you know, who's going to go.
Yeah.
Right. And it was an incredible, education for me on how these cases are handled. I mean, aside from whether you think Chauvin's guilty, not guilty, half guilty, who's guilty, the medical part was fascinating. The medical and legal, it was like a in-service training for me on medicine and how the heart works and et cetera, all that, damage to George and did Chauvin do it? Excuse me if I pronounce it the way I am, but I'm pronouncing it the French way.
That's the French way.
Name.
No, that's fine.
Yeah. And I'm very glad that I had the opportunity. It was tremendous education, really, that I got in regard
civics.
To the legal system and mm-hmm. medicine. Mm-hmm. I think they did a good job. I got very angry with the commentators at whatever HLN has, that channel that was following it. They're all, all really... they will think except for one good woman. A lot of them have been involved in the O.J. Simpson case, Casey, mm-hmm. what's her name, and these are mm-hmm. the so-called expert panel that Charlotte had to listen to for a couple of weeks, I guess.
Mm.
And they aggravated me a lot. I mean, they were all except for one good woman. I can't remember her name. She would come down with really good reasoning from time to time. The others were all, it wouldn't have made any difference who was, whether it was George or Chauvin up there. They were determined to hurt the image of the United States police. And that's what I see. That bothers me. I'm not taking a stand against George or in favor of Chauvin. It just seems to be another operetta that we're being invited to watch
It's misdirection. They're keeping us. It's bread and circuses. Yep. You bet.
Yep, absolutely. Because what are we going to do without a strong police force? I just have to look at it that way. And I'm a good one to be talking because, as you know, we went through the thing with Sam. And it was very difficult to find first-class police that would stand up against the rotten, rotten judicial system in the state of Maine, right? That's what has to be dealt with, first of all, across the country, the rotten judicial system. And the police would like most of them, to do the right thing. But they get, except for a few, they get coerced by the judicial system. And so I found this case very interesting because it was sort of, I wasn't looking at it from a political perspective, or I was looking at it from the way actually a case should. The judge was good, where a case should be, should function.
Or like a good civics class. Right? A good civics class.
Yeah, I mean, really, I came up with thinking, Charlotte, you should have been a policeman, or you should have been in intelligence or something, because you really do enjoy, watching this and how it all works, because there is an attempt to consider the Constitution, really a big attempt, right? Saw, and the people who testified were, to my mind, very credible, and I have to say I really did sort of enjoy, is hardly the word. I was educated a lot, and I hope many Americans did watch that.
Let me ask you this. Let's get to the punchline. You watched it. If you were on the jury, how would you vote? Based on the information you were exposed to and presented with in the courtroom, if you were a juror.
Well, I wouldn't vote that Chauvin. I don't believe anything he did was intentional. I think that it's been exaggerated. I'm not sure whether that was the primary cause, putting his foot on the neck of the death of George. I'm not sure. There were witnesses, doctors and all, who testified, and there were those who said there was no indication, from physical markings on top of the skin or under, because they could do that kind of work too, of any injury to the neck.
The knee, Charlotte, let me ask you a question. Yeah. Did they make the case that his knee was essentially on the side/rear of Floyd's neck? It was not on his trachea, on his throat. It was on the side by his ear.
Well, I think, yes. It seemed to me that was more, they dealt with that more than on the back, right? They didn't go into it a lot. They avoided it to a certain extent. There were doctors who, there was one doctor, who's been very high up with one of the major police departments in the country. I can't remember. There were quite a few who came in and testified, who felt that the last one to testify, or the last one I saw, felt that George had died from drugs in his system, fentanyl, et cetera, and that was primary, but that's not the way it went. The majority were pushing the fact that it was the Chauvin putting his foot on the neck, which they didn't prove it at all.
Understood. Did they talk about the fact that the first autopsy showed he had two kinds of heart disease. He had more than a lethal dose of fentanyl in his system.
Yeah, they did.
He was a long-term drug addict. He might have swallowed a baggie before he got out of the car. He dropped two of them on the street that the cops didn't even notice.
That's right.
This guy was a walking drug factory.
Why are you asking me questions when you've obviously done your own research?
No, I just, because you've seen the trial. I haven't. I'm just curious how these things
did. I mean, this was brought up, and there were good, excellent people testifying, which I would say in support of Chauvin, and poor George, he's dead anyway. You know, he can't say anything. But to me, it's a trial, show trial, like we're getting used to, and this won't be the last one by any means, because the goal is, and I don't think the blacks have anything to do with this. The majority of the blacks, you know, they want to have a strong U.S. police. It's that narrow, tiny minority of them that, and it is a real minority, that are Marxists. And, so were all those crazies last summer. They're Marxists. And so are we going to let that, small percentage, set the tone, the agenda, for the next 2 years in this country? I'm very concerned about that. And I think the blacks are very concerned about it, too. I mean, they're the first ones to really want to have the protection of a good police force. And I think they recognize that the majority of American police are making a huge effort to keep the system together. And I'm very concerned that the system will fall apart into what I've been talking about for years, you know, the community-oriented policing system, the soft, fuzzy, unelected partnership of the police and the community. And that can be a very dangerous road to go down. That's hardly the word, huh? It can become very brutal, and the rights of the police, the rights of the citizens, will be trampled on.
Very good. All right. Huh? Okay. All right. So, Matt, possible verdict here. Death by massive drug overdose. Inadvertent, inappropriate behavior by law enforcement officer, which didn't, in a provable fashion, directly contribute to the death of the subject. Something like that.
Yeah, I would say the first one. What was it you said? You're really good. I'm sorry that I. I mean, it seems you almost followed it better than.
No,
you
I didn't. I'm just watching the news. Here. If they presented all the details, the overriding factor to me seems to be the fentanyl and other drugs that were in his system.
Yes,
it wasn't just that.
They were proven. They were proven to be in the system. I mean, nobody could really challenge that. Amphetamine, what is it called? Something or other, amphetamine, which is very strong, too. But fentanyl, I had no idea that fentanyl is something like 30 times stronger than morphine.
Oh, of course. It's through the roof, unless it's carefully cut. But yeah.
His behavior, George's behavior in the beginning, was very violent. They only showed it once, way back in the beginning, and then I did see it another time when they brought it forward. But that his behavior was, it's sort of like when you have fentanyl, you know, you become like 100% more violent than you are ordinarily. And the police had to deal with that. I mean, you saw four officers having a very difficult time getting him into the car and out of the car, you know, whichever one it was at certain times. They just couldn't deal with him. I was very impressed with the judge. It'll be interesting to see how the jury goes on it, because they didn't have to listen to those politically motivated mouthies that I listen to, you know, that are right. the experts.
That must have been pretty grim to have to absorb. Yeah, no sense.
Yeah, I didn't. That really aggravated me, and I think, you know, it should aggravate the American police no end.
Let the process speak for itself. We don't need interpreters. Come on.
We didn't need that.
No,
and
no.
After every half an hour or whatever, where, you know, they take a break, it's my own fault. I didn't have to listen to them. I think I'm a masochist or something. You know, it's just that same old routine of, and you're just hoping one person who was good, who was, I think, in that case out there, not OJ, but the other one who, and Scott something or other. You know, they'd all had experience. I'm not saying they hadn't, these people. But it's like, how can they all be pretty much the same opinion on each segment of the case? I don't know. I do. I mean, what did I expect? I just think this is all part of the script for the United States the next few years. Because they have to destroy our police.
Yeah, and they're working on it. Yeah,
and they've got the gun control thing going now, and they're going to be showing us all these things that if there were no guns, it wouldn't have happened. And then we had something today that I was watching. Mm-hmm. You saw that probably. A teenager, 14-year-old something. He was at 2 a.m. I don't know if this was a while back or just today. He was shot, and he was walking down the street somewhere at 2:30 a.m.
Oh, the black kid?
With an 18-year-old.
This is a while ago.
It is?
Yeah.
Well, you see, they're bringing up all that stuff now. They've got to build it into this little castle.
What they need to bring up on an equal basis is the black-on-white and black-on-Asian crimes that are now proliferating more than ever and will continue to proliferate. This is what the controllers,
they don't give it to us. They don't give us those statistics at all.
No.
And but I do know from watching, you know, I think we've all seen that, you know, interestingly enough, the blacks do manage to get a little better coverage than we do. I mean, I've heard enough, you know, on the major channels, CNN and all. Uh-huh. You know, you'll hear black people, you know, normal blacks, good ones, right? Which is the majority of the country.
I think just adult American citizens, doesn't matter what color they are.
Yeah, but a lot of people would like us to believe that, you know, the blacks are all radical Marxists. Well, they aren't. They're more white Marxists in this country than you'll ever find black.
Well, all you got to do is watch any of these large BLM rallies, and you'll see mostly young Generation Z airheads who are clearly
absolutely
definable as Marxist, or at least Marxist trainees. Hold on a minute.
Yeah,
we have to take a break. Yeah, hold that thought, dear. We'll be right back. Charlotte Iserbeet in the great state of Maine. All right, welcome back with Charlotte. I'm Jeff, and we're talking about, what are we talking about? American jurisprudence, the latest sideshow carny act to fill the airways. And as you said, there will be many more of these coming. There's no doubt about it. Keep the people diverted. And if he is kind of, I guess, found not guilty by virtue of a hung jury, doesn't matter. The communists are all ready to go out and burn and torch and loot and the police want nothing to do with these subhuman scum.
The subhuman scum include a lot of the people in our judicial system.
Oh, you bet.
I have a lot more problem with the American judicial system, the abuse of it, right, of the American judicial system than I do, you know, those parading the streets with guns and all. I really do. It's due to the judiciary. that has gotten so out of hand, and we've got these communists in every single state on judicial, you know, whatever city you're in, you're going to find them. And they're out to tear down our judicial system. I mean, I know it, you know.
Sure they are.
We know it.
Of course.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
And
saw
it firsthand, and the fact that it was so covered up in our situation shows that the American people are not meant to be informed regarding this very serious situation. That's what I'm looking at. I mean, if they can break down our judicial system by allowing right. the appointment of communists in top you know, offices in that area, they don't have to go to war with us or anything. Well, we see what we're looking at right now, last summer, in fact, right?
Correct.
If that's not a breakdown of the American judicial system, somebody, I'd like somebody to tell me what it is.
Right.
I mean, why didn't we move? What are we? Absolutely, you know.
Well, we're the walking anesthetized now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we are. The Communocrats are getting ready to introduce a bill to allow the Supreme Court to be enlarged.
Oh yeah,
and they'll pack it with Bolsheviks, and they'll never lose another case. It's just the way it is.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I mean, it's just, you know, every week we hear something that they're going to do, and nobody does anything about it. I mean, I wonder, did we actually elect these people in Congress and in the Senate? Never held accountable for anything?
No, accountability is passé. No. Mm-hmm. You get caught, you just start lying. And then time is on your side. Other stories will come to supplant yours in the headlines or whatever. You just lie. And you wait it out. And you're okay. No problem.
Yeah, well, I guess when you look at the what we're allowing with all the corporate multi-billionaires running the world with, you know, the fourth, what is it called, industrial revolution, you know, all these people that we never heard of until just recently who've supplanted our constitutional form of government, and the American people saying, okay, that's all right, you know, let it happen.
Something's wrong here. I don't know what it is, Charlotte. There's something going on. When the European authorities found out, and there was some questioning, this is three, 4 years ago, when the blacks and the Muslims were invading Europe, and the Europeans really didn't stop them. They bitched a little bit, but they didn't organize and stop them. People wondered why, what happened? People wondered, where's the European strength of integrity, character, social roots, pride, nationality? Right. Where is it? Well, where it went was, it went into the dairy products by way of a hormone called oxytocin, which is makes you feel warm and fuzzy and that there's no problems anywhere. And it's a drug. It's a hormone. And they loaded the dairy products with it. Wait
a
minute.
How come you don't take that drug?
Hold on. The enemies of European nationality loaded it in the food, in the dairy product, milk, cheese, ice cream, dairy, all yogurt, didn't matter. They put like 100 times more oxytocin than normally appears in it. So people were eating dairy products and getting literally put into a state of such happiness and laid back passivity. They didn't do anything. And when this was found out, it made the news, but not for long. I saw it. I couldn't believe it. They loaded the dairy products with oxytocin. Look it up, friends. Oxytocin.
Yeah, I want you to send me stuff on that because I have European relatives that I don't dare talk to them.
Well, they didn't.
Happened to them? I mean,
well, they got drugged. That's what happened to them.
Education.
Yeah,
I mean,
they got drugged.
I can't believe these people. My own relatives.
And we over here, I'm not saying we're getting oxytocin, but we could be. I think that there's something electromagnetic in terms of frequencies that are being broadcast through the cell network, perhaps through the electric grid, that does cause people to want to just kind of kick back and relax. It's a pacifier. There are frequencies for all major moods and emotional states They have them. 30 years ago, they were putting them around top secret Air Force facilities, military bases, and they would put these little towers out there, and they would broadcast a frequency for abject fear. And anybody who would come near these bases, say, late at night, they would be frightened to the core, and they'd turn around and run the other way. So this is the kind of control that's out there. So something happened to America. I don't think it was just Generation Z coming along or Gen X. Something happened here, and I think there's something going on. I don't know what it is. It could be coming out of the TV. It could be being broadcast through the cell phone network. It might be coming out of your little smartphone friend right into your eyeballs and into your brain, calming you down and pacifying you. I don't have proof, but I do think I remember Vietnam and how we stopped that war as a populace. We did that. We stopped that war.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And nobody's doing anything now. Nobody even goes out on the weekend with a sign, holding up a sign saying, don't take the vaccine, it's dangerous. Nobody's doing anything. So there's a reason for it.
Well, we're going to do it here in Maine over the weekend, and I can't go.
Good.
I can't. I'm not well enough. I think there's. It did take a while. It's sort of like after 1 year of being interned, like in our own houses, we all think that's okay. So since our own house, right? I think that all of a sudden the American people did sort of. It was like a. They had a good stroke, huh? And they all realized that something was terribly wrong. And of course, we're not getting the news on the number of people who oppose the whole COVID thing, who know that it's, you know, just been cooked up, you know, in order to put us down. But that has happened, Jeff, I think. And there's a big pushback, not just here, but around the world. And, you know, credentialed people, doctors, lawyers, scientists. There's a pushback. I don't think any of us expected that to happen after we were in such a state of shock the first year. And we didn't do really anything. And everybody smiled when Fauci came on. They could never equal his smile, could they? And sorry to be so rude, huh? But the first year was just a bomb that hit us. And everybody's in total shock.
And they beat us up for the last year, year and 4 months now. All 2020 was a fear porn operation against the American and global population.
But yes, and very brilliantly done, and a brainwashing, a complete operant conditioning, Skinner program, reward and punishment. It really is. I mean, COVID has been nothing but the reward and punishment system. You know what I do. If you do what they want, you get your reward, right? You can do this, you can do that. If you don't, you're going to be punished. So it's nothing more nor less than dog training and Skinner. And it works. But I think that the second year that we moved into it, people have become a lot more educated and realize that this is not something they want to live with. Because, you know, we don't want to live under this dictatorship. And nobody can call it anything but that. I mean, all this questioning about whether certain things the government is doing is legal or not is just ridiculous. I mean, it would never pass muster with the United States Constitution. But, of course, what difference does that make? Because nobody knows what's in the Constitution. Well, then we can go back to the deliberate dumbing down. But I think I have a little bit of hope for what's happening right now around the world. People, even the dumb Europeans, and I can tell you that's a shock for me because I've got all these relatives over there, and they've been just plain dumb for a long time. Yeah. And they were dumb when Maastricht, the treaty was passed. We were there, my husband and I, for, you know, over the weekend with our relatives outside of Paris. And, well, how are you going to vote? You know, we said, how are you going to vote? And they said, oh, we're going to vote for Maastricht.
Unbelievable.
And we said, what? Yeah, these are conservative, Catholic, French and Belgians. And we said, what? And we said, why? And they said, oh, because the farmers, you know, make their living over there in the big farms outside of Paris. Oh, the farmers are all going to vote against it. Well, you know, we said, oh, yeah, that's just exactly the way the communists operate. You know, they're going to vote against it, so you're going to vote for it? You know, so they did that. And they got themselves in a heck of a mess. And that was just the beginning of, you know, they're accepting the, first of all, you know, the common market. And that was, they never should have done that. And they're not dumb. They get a good education in Europe. But I guess because they'd had so many wars, that has a lot to do with it. They went down the wrong road. And then they didn't get off that track. And I'm very upset with my relatives. I hardly dare, you know, I love them all, but I don't even dare be in touch with them because they let this happen. They let the, you know, the explosion in across borders, which they created in the first place by letting the borders open. And now they're going to have to take their punishment.
Yes, they are. This is all. Go ahead.
Better not play rents in Belgium, please don't. They'll all find out what Charlotte's saying about her relatives.
But that whole Maastricht thing, I wonder if they honestly even understood what they were doing. You think they might not have? They just that dumb.
I don't mean to insult your family. Their reason was that the farmers who were in favor of opposed to Maastricht, because that's how the communists work, right?
Sure.
They take a position so that the so-called non-communists will think that that you don't take that position. They took the exact opposite position. So then they don't think it through that these are communist farmers, and not all of them are, but a lot of them, enough of them, were opposed. They were opposed to Maastricht, right? See? And so then these good Catholic conservatives, so-called, in my family, think, oh, they're opposed. The communists are opposed to it. We better be in favor of it, huh?
That's better.
The way you... Dumb. Dumb.
Oh,
D-U-M-B.
Well, yeah.
That's how it worked. I was actually there, you know, right from the beginning in 1960. And that was when Harlan Cleveland, you know, the U.S. ambassador of the first common market, he had an office in right next to my office. And you look him up, you know, anybody likes to do research, look up Harlan Cleveland. Better communist you're never going to find. Good U.S. whatever he was, ambassador of the common market. And that was a very interesting period there when most people know nothing about how this whole mess in Europe started. And I'm just there. That's the only reason I know anything, you know, on the ground.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. We're good. We have 7 minutes here. Now, what do you want to talk about that we haven't talked about? What's bothering you?
What's bothering me?
Yeah. Besides the Chauvin trial.
Well, I really got so bogged down in that I have to say
it was good escapism
thing.
For you then. Okay. That's
yeah,
all right.
It was, but I'm going to say this. I learned a lot in that trial. The way it was handled, a good judge.
Yeah.
The people who testified, I couldn't believe there were that many sort of intelligent, even though I didn't agree with them. But there seemed to be very intelligent Americans giving testimony. And... whether I agreed with them or not, right?
Sure.
I was rather impressed that we still have had a case like that that I believe was well handled. I don't know that I'm going to agree with whatever the decision will be. I got really angry with the media, as usual, because they wanted to make it into a circus, which they did a good job.
But
they didn't succeed because the people involved were good. I think pretty good.
It sounds kind of encouraging that there was a reasonable trial held under unreasonable circumstances.
Extremely well.
Hmm.
Yes. I was very impressed.
Oh.
You know,
well, that's good. That's good to hear. There, you see some of these judges and how they rule, and you know that they shouldn't be on that. They shouldn't be within 10 miles of that bench. They should be gone. They're not judges.
Oh, absolutely.
They're making law from the bench. They're ruining people's lives, but whatever.
Yep. Yeah. No, this judge was really good, and he was very fair. There were times when I thought, oh, boy, he's, you know, because I'm so negative, you know, he's going to do this, and he didn't, right? And I thought, oh, good. Hey, so it's well worth watching. Yeah, people can get that. I'm sure it's going to be a bestseller, you know, the video of the whole thing. And I thought it was it gave me, you know, hope for our judicial system when I saw that. I felt it was very fair. There were rulings by the judge, which I was surprised about, you know, that he did sort of the opposite of what I thought he was going to do, considering, you know, the typical judge we have now. I guess I've just seen such a mess in Maine that this came as, it was quite refreshing in Minnesota.
Well, you've been through and you've face-to-face seen so many ugly things in situations rather like this. With judges who are corrupt and crooked and couldn't care less about the scales of justice. They're all politicized. In fact, many of them are weaponized. That's what this communist thing does. It weaponizes the courts. It weaponizes teachers.
Right.
It weaponizes politicians.
You're right. Yeah, and I did not see, maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe I just wasn't. I believe that I was ready to be very critical, and I couldn't be.
Interesting. Very interesting. Now, I appreciate you sharing this. I think our listeners are interested, too, in how you're seeing it. I don't have time for it, but I watch and I listen. And I'm learning from you, so thank you. We'll see. Just remember that the street riots are probably been planned for many, many months. And whatever happens, if it happens, is all done. Every I is dotted, every T is crossed. They're ready. They know. So,
well, you know what I forgot to say is that your listeners probably know this, but Chauvin, he's not going to testify. He doesn't want to testify.
No, he took the fifth.
Yep.
That's a smart move.
We shall see. We shall see. And I'm glad he did, because I have, you know, he's had, 21 years in the service. And I truly do believe personally that there was no intention on his part to cause the death.
Can you imagine making
the death?
Excuse me, but can you imagine honestly being a police officer, male or female, and dealing with the dregs of society, honestly?
That's
just got to be mentally just about as abusive as it can get. And here he is with this obvious known druggie, and he's holding him down, and George allegedly can't breathe. He's saying, I can't breathe. Well, everybody says that when they're put in a constricted position, but he could breathe.
Well, if he couldn't breathe, how could he talk?
Was practically yelling, of course.
I know. Well, this all came up, and I think that, you know, that 9 minutes that they say that Chauvin had his foot on his neck, it wasn't on the back of his neck anyway. And you know, they...
It's on the side of his neck, or the rear. And there's no blood flow through there. It's all muscle.
The doctor said that there was, you know, because they did all the testing on the autopsy, that I don't think that any of the doctors, even the ones who were on the other side, you know, said that they could see any damage there.
No,
they
that
felt
wasn't it.
The, you know, the
death
ones that
by
I would
fentanyl.
Be...
He suicided. He suicided himself by overdoing the drugs.
Yeah, and
they
it wasn't
do it
just
all the
fentanyl.
Time.
All I can say is I don't think it was a waste of time watching it. We all have so much
time
now.
Maybe it instilled
anyway.
Some confidence in the part of America that did watch it. I mean, I
do believe so. I hope they didn't listen to the media like I did. I think if you just watched the trial, you would you'd have the opinion that this was as well done as an American could expect.
Very good.
Under the Constitution. Yeah. And and people didn't get nasty and rude, and the judge didn't really have to bear down hard on people. Well, it was just a very well handled trial. And anyway, we shall see. But as you said, this is just number one. They're going to be throwing these things at us for the next few years, because how do you take a country down? You take it down when you wreck their judicial system.
Right. And look, for all of you listening, watch for false flags, watch for well-planned rioting, watch for murders, unfortunately. Watch for arson, watch for burning, watch for looting, watch for more hate crimes, primarily black against white and black against Asian now. Primarily.
Yes.
This is what I see. I'm watching the news, and if there were white on black crime, I would sure as hell see it, and I'm not seeing it. Every crime virtually is black on white.
Jeff,
what about those two?
Planned for years. I had a little. I don't know.
Correct.
I had a little document, a tract, out of the Soviet Union in 1932, an original. It had old, rusty staples on it, and it had Stalin's face on it, and it was called "The Negro Problem." And I've always felt that the communists felt that they could use the blacks, and they have successfully done that by a minority, a real minority of blacks. And this is where we're at. It's communism behind this movement, this race, anti-race. I'm not telling you anything, right? How else can they do it? And what's good is that the majority of blacks in this country recognize this. You know, they know. And they do speak out. They don't like it any better. I mean, who's going to suffer more from a collapse?
Our black Americans need to speak out, like Candace Owens, even if they don't agree with Candace Owens.
Isn't she fantastic? Speaks out. I'd vote for her.
Yeah,
I would vote for that woman.
Our black Americans need to stand up and speak out. And hey, look, whatever happens,
lessons.
It was whatever happens,
so
it was a fairly dull, a fairly and well done trial, fairly conducted, and whatever happens, happens. That's the way the system works. We don't burn anything down.
Well, God bless Minnesota.
Like
I have high regard for Minnesota. I like the state, and I think that. Did you know they have the highest percentage of corporations of any state in the country?
No,
Minnesota.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I spent a lot of time out there when we were fighting the outcome-based ad, and I met a lot of people that I really liked a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think they've got their heads screwed on out there, and I think we saw that in this trial.
Well said. All right. Well, you've summed it up really very, very nicely. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Now, you go do what you were doing, and have a good evening. And
you too. I wish that I could listen to that guy. I could, I guess. The one you got
coming up
sounds fascinating.
It's coming up right now. Yeah, you really want to hear this. Yeah.
Good. It should be terrific. Good luck.
All right, dear. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Charlotte Iserbeet, the one and only. We will be right back with Cliff Mickelson coming up next.